This is the home of the Boston Celtics.
Rozier, step back three is good.
Oh!
Finds him in the last second. Two-hand slam. Kids, that's how you run a break.
The Boston Celtics play here. 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's exactly what your coworkers are going to be talking about today.
I am dizzy. I'm really dizzy.
Toucher and Rich.
Oh, my God.
Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
To Sports Hub, we are Toucher and Rich, and we have a big contest. Well, something's going on, Rich, that inspired this contest.
So, Rob Gronkowski and all of his little vague tweets about whether or not he is going to become a full-time wrestler, which it sounds like he's going to be doing something at WrestleMania. That's the consensus, that people are saying that no matter what, whether he's leaving the Patriots or not, he sure as hell is going to be involved in some sort of way, because God knows everyone's talking about Rob Gronkowski, and it's the best publicity you could buy right now if you're the WWE.
Yeah, so, everyone's, I mean, he's furthering the mania.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
If the mania was at a five, people are damn lunatics now.
Hanging out with that guy, Mojo Rawley. I don't even know if the guy's any good, whether he's a good wrestler or not.
Oh, he's a technician. He's the Bruno Sammartino of our age.
Is he really now?
It's subtle. It's not for the, he's like the Al Horford of wrestling.
He's the thinking man's wrestling.
That's right.
Okay.
You don't know, you know, he's doing, he might not be the flashiest guy, but he gets it done.
All right. Well, every time we bring up any kind of thing having to do with wrestling and the kind of money that's involved and what kind of hours that Rob Gronkowski would work if he went wrestling, nobody knows what they're talking about. And all I want is somebody that we can just go to at any given time who knows their stuff. But all I know is that around the station, there's a pretty high bar. There's a high bar when it comes to wrestling knowledge. So we're looking for somebody who can school basically anyone who's ever gotten a free spring roll at Kowloon. Any member of the Kowloon crew. So we are going to do a bit called Crush the Kowloon Crew in order to do any kind of segment that has to do with wrestling. We need a wrestling master.
All right, so it's K Crush, the K Kowloon Crew with a C.
Yeah, because you didn't want three K's in a row.
We didn't want two, three K's in a row.
Probably smart.
They're like, crush the Kowloon Crew, crush Kowloon Crew. I was like, no. We'll make the...
So it's called Crush the Crew.
No, Crush the Crew Contest. That's what it is.
Crush the Crew Contest.
That's right. Because so, Kowloon apparently already gets enough free advertising.
So, yeah. So, K. So it's Crush with a K, the Crew with a K, Contest with a C. Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Crush the Crew Contest with a C.
Yep. And there's one man that you're going to have to defeat.
There's one man that is going to be coming in. I can't say other people won't be involved.
This will be a game that is much like many of our Jeopardy contests. But contestant number one, the guy you're going to have to defeat, is none other than...
Sarge.
Okay.
Rocking out of Kowloon with Jigs.
And he will be decked
out.
Complete with his Toys R Us belts.
Free Saga swings from Indy.
Which are worth like $400.
Sarge.
You don't know this, Rich.
Extra dark sauce with the Saga swing.
So, the weight loss company that Scott Zolak does the advertising for. So, I was watching before the Oscars, and there was Scott Zolak there in the weight loss place.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, doing his endorsement. Obviously, the endorsement on the radio did so well that they moved him to be the full-time spokesman.
Right.
And there in the background is none other than Sarge shaking hands with the doctor. Sarge not only not paid,
but insisted yesterday that he was.
He did. Very vague. He said that he got a stipend.
Yeah, technically, that's money. Money changed.
No.
I saw him. We were in the room at the same time.
Do you know how vague that was?
Let's just say I got a stipend.
Because all he had to say was yes. Like, do you get paid? Yes.
Yeah,
it's a simple answer.
So a stipend could have been a sandwich. They could have had, like, a deli tray.
Did a transaction take place?
I'm unaware of that. I cannot say no.
A stipend means a transaction took place. It could have been a sandwich. It could have been bus fare.
It could have been a glass of water.
He got paid, technically. Yes.
And then Zolak went on to say that Sarge goes out, like, Zolak will have a speech. Zolak makes a ton of... I bet you Zolak makes as much from speaking engagements as he does being on the radio. Mm-hmm. But, like, Zolak will go out and do speaking engagements, and all of a sudden Sarge will be at the speaking engagement just glad-handing people.
Oh, well, I mean, that was the Mr. Sid thing.
Yes, that's right.
He completely took over the Mr. Sid event.
I think that he believes that he's networking when he goes to these events, even though these people can't do anything for him.
Hey, something's working. Sarge is on the radio, what, 4 hours a week? And he's on like seven commercials on our station.
He's doing it. He's doing it.
I mean, something's working with Sarge.
He throws himself at the feet of the sales department.
Good. It's working.
I would argue that showing up at a Zolak speaking event is not part of the reason why he's getting these endorsements.
That's true. But all I know is that every time a Sarge commercial comes on, I know Nick Jamelli in the other room is like punching his computer monitor because I'm a bigger star than Sarge.
All Jamelli has to say is that he wants to lose weight. I mean, Louth is on one. All you have to do is say you want to lose weight. And that you want to do what we advertise 18 different diet things.
You're right, yeah. But I mean, Sarge is definitely working the side hustle.
No, Sarge is wasting his time. Sarge is wasting gas money and time.
Sarge has a free head of hair. Sarge has on a weight plan for free. He might not be getting paid, but he's just getting done for free.
Sure.
Sarge also, there was something else that he did a commercial for the other day.
Are we sure?
Or laser surgery. He got like laser surgery too.
Yeah, okay. So, all right. So he said three cosmetic things. Okay.
Yeah, they're expensive.
Right. But does he get paid?
He gets them for free. I mean, that's basically getting paid.
Okay.
You know those things are not cheap.
They're
affordable, but they're not cheap.
And they're great values.
Yes.
If they're what I endorse.
Right, they are. But, I mean, so he's working his side hustle. But the one thing you're going to have to
do... His side hustle.
I like using that term.
Yeah, he's real...
Hey there. I can see my glad-handing in the other room.
Yeah, real hustle. Real businessman.
So here's how it works. If you want to... And by the way, there's a prize. You will not just only be a person that we will trust calling with some sort of advice for the WWE anytime the Gronk thing comes up, but also there are tickets to the big WWE, I think it's called Road to WrestleMania, at the TD Garden. The people at the Garden have been very nice to give us some very good tickets for you and a guest, so we will hook you up there, but here is how you get involved. If you want to be a part of our Wrestling Jeopardy and the Crush the Crew contest, go to, go on Twitter and make a no more than a minute. Is that what it is?
Yeah, approximately a minute.
Make a promo, a full-on promo. You know what a promo is if you're a wrestling fan. That's you yelling at the person you're taking on, that person being Sarge. And whoever does the best promo, we will pick our two favorites, and you will compete against Sarge on Friday morning.
I would say we'll pick our three favorites. Just in case.
Well, sure. But what I'm saying is that two people will go up against Sarge.
You need an alternate in case one flakes. Is that right?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay. So we encourage it to be under a minute. If you even want to make it shorter than that, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You'll be surprised how long a minute is.
Make sure you use the hashtag Crush the Crew Contest. Crush with a K, crew with a K, contest with a C, because we do not want three Ks together.
That's right. So Crush with a K, the crew with a K, contest. Crush the Crew Contest. That's the hashtag.
Mm-hmm.
So you have some time. They have to be in...
By tomorrow at 5.
Tomorrow at 5. So you have some time to work with.
Mm-hmm.
You got over 24 hours there to bop around and figure out what you want to do.
If you want to include props, you want to show us your wrestling den that you live in, if you still got the Hulk Hogan stuffy that you like to body slam on your bed.
If you have a life-size cutout of James Stewart with the fist in the air... Any of those things will be acceptable.
Right. Anything that proves that you are worthy of taking on the Kowloon crew in a battle of wrestling trivia.
There might be a special audio daily double.
Oh.
Who knows who might show
Surprises
up.
Surprises afoot on Friday morning.
Surprise.
Yes. James Stewart, maybe a surprise appearance by Jay Stu. Who knows?
Who knows? If he wants to come in, he's more than welcome to come in.
So, once again... Make your less than a minute promo. We suggest less than a minute. And put hashtag Crush the Crew Contest on Twitter. And we will choose somebody by tomorrow night. Yes. Friday morning. Got to be able to be in studio Friday morning from 7:30 to 9.
It's true.
Just a Hogan theme? this Hogan?
Yeah, this
is
Hogan.
Is this Hogan?
Who is obviously I'm not involved in the contest.
Oh, do you not know? Or are you?
I do.
Oh, yeah, I do too. Do you know?
No.
It's Rick Derringer, baby. Rock and roll,
Hoochie
Coo.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's Rick Derringer, and this killed his career.
Did it really?
Yes.
He had a career other than Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo?
Oh, yeah. It was huge. By the way, when you bought this when you were a kid on tape, it was the size of vinyl with the tape in the upper left-hand corner.
Oh.
Yeah. It was not in, like, it wasn't just a cassette. You got all that packaging.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I bought this. I remember where I bought it at Kmart. I remember exactly where I was when I bought this. I was 10 years old.
I didn't even like wrestling when I was a kid, but I liked this song.
Oh, if you go into my parents' house, I have so many Betamax tapes of wrestling. World's Most Unusual Matches. This one that I have.
Somebody said that there's a female listener of ours who knows more about wrestling than the crew does. Awesome.
Fantastic.
Even better.
You could throw a real wrench into things.
Yeah, Sarge's head's going to
spin. I swear to God, you want to beat Sarge. You said a good-looking one right next to him.
I think it's all relative, but yeah. Or it might work the other way. The young lady might be distracted.
Oh, that's a good point.
I mean, Sarge has got his, according to Rich, he's got his eyes done. He's lost a lot of weight. He's got a full head of hair.
Yeah. That's right.
Yep. He's all of a sudden very attractive. We have a Matt Light coming up.
Toucher. Oh my God. And Rich.
Are you kidding me?
Toucher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We are Toucher and Rich, scheduled to be joined by Matt Light. Give him about another 40 seconds, and then if not, we can get into this wonderful stuff with Nunberg, or whatever the hell his name is. All right, here's Light.
All right.
Kind of looking forward to getting into that maniac that was on television yesterday. Matt Light, you know him, obviously. You know who he is and what he does in the Matt Light Foundation. Mr. Matt Light, hello.
Top of the morning, fellas.
We always appreciate you coming on. Now, Mr. Light, the combine just occurred. First of all, way to go with the rocking out those 25 reps on the bench press. It's very impressive. Were you one of the top guys that year in terms of that?
You know, I can't honestly remember it. I can't remember how many times I did do the
25.
The old bench. Was it 25?
Yeah, it was 25.
I got the numbers right here in front of me. 26 at 225 pounds.
They mean to short.
Jeez, that's impressive as hell.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I mean, it seems like forever ago. I mean, you have to remember, right? Like, I was probably the heaviest I had ever been in my life at that point in time, because you have this weird period of time when you're an athlete, when you're training and getting ready for the combine, and you know, you have an agent and they're moving you around and shuffling you into all these different workouts. We trained at the UPMC Center, which is a facility shared by the Steelers and the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. It was just a wild time, but I was like 320 pounds. I mean, just grotesquely obese. and training for something that I would never do for the rest of my career, you know, like running a shuttle test or benching 25 or 26 reps at 225. I mean, things that you never do in the football world, which is why I think the combine is such an interesting thing that, you know, in this world of, you know, analytics and with all the books like Moneyball and how people have broken down sports into every possible angle, yet we still do things that don't have any direct link to performance on the field.
Did you get the weird questions from the coaches at your combine?
Yeah, you know what was interesting about that is our agency, and we had a number of guys, Justin Smith, if you remember, a defensive end from Cincinnati for a long time, San Francisco as well, Jabari Holloway, tight end. We had a lot of guys that we all trained together at this center, and they had a woman that would come in, and she would talk to us about how to do the interview process and how this was going to work. And, you know, they had it down to a science, and it was one of the strangest times in my life, because you have runners for every head coach and every staff who would be going out there, and they're almost like salesmen, like, hey, who, you know, hey kid, you want to buy some candy? Hey, you want to come over here and talk to this coach? Hey, well, who do you got on your list? The Seahawks need you right after that. And you're like, I mean, the one piece of advice that we had was, make sure you write down every single, you know, interview that you have and just tell them that I can't come to you right now because I have to go see Bill Belichick or whatever it was. But the questions were out of control.
Like, okay, so there was, for a while, you know, obviously there's been a lot made of some of the inappropriate questions that are out there and then some that just make no sense. What was the strangest one that you were posed?
You know, I remember something along the lines of, you know, like, so something about earlier, like in my high school days, like, you know, like, what did you spend your time doing? And I remember, I don't know what I can't even tell you what exactly I said, but
it involved a sock and a bottle of Jergens.
I'm sure I used an outdoor reference. Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, I gave a typical response of, like, you know, what I did growing up in the middle of nowhere, Ohio. And the guy looks at me, and I can't, I mean, I have no idea who this person was. It wasn't a head coach, but, you know, they literally looked at me and were like, really? Is that really what you did? And I remember thinking, like, buddy, what response were you hoping to get? You know, like, what would have satisfied you? But, I mean, I heard from buddies of mine that went through the process and some of the stuff they were asking. You know, it's just, I hope it's not that way anymore, because it would definitely be something noteworthy on social media, some of these things that they used to do today.
Was it Belichick who talked to you, or was it a different person from the Patriots?
No, I talked to Scott Pioli. I remember he was in the room, and I honestly don't know that I had, like, a real formal sit down with New England. I mean, in terms of, you know, I did meet some of the head coaches for different staffs, and I remember, you know, some of those moments. But I'm not sure that, you know, the interview with New England was anything that was a big deal. I mean, you're whisked in and out of these things at 100 mile an hour. They got to see, you know, so many different people, and a lot of the people they truly do know. So when they bring you in, it's more of just a feeler to, you know, send some other team a message, you know?
Yeah. Now, did you do the Wonderlic test?
Yeah, I did do the Wonderlic test.
Now, do you remember how you did on that? And if you say no, I don't believe you're lying.
I'm dead serious, because I never get involved with these things, and I never really cared about them. I know I did very well. I don't know what the score was, but
despite your education at Purdue.
Right. I mean, I went to a really nice school.
That's right. Well, listen, you did. I mean, I always underestimate Purdue. But, okay, so in terms of an offensive lineman, because I would imagine there's some positions where it matters, but in terms of an offensive lineman, is there anything of value that comes out of the combine that you can't see on film or you can't talk to a college coach about?
Well, I think overall body mechanics, right? I mean, when a lot of these guys that are playing the game at the offensive line position, I mean, they're, you know, look, in game time situations, as long as they're doing what they do, you know, and then not getting out of their own comfort zone, it's kind of hard to see how athletic a guy really is. I think the combine for the guys that are on the fence or maybe not as well known can definitely be a boost. I know that, you know, look, my 5-10-5 or the shuttle drill or whatever they used to call it is something that I think a lot of the scouts that were there looked at and said, okay, this guy can actually move. He's got some pretty good footwork, and they may not have been able to see that watching regular tape. But for the most part, you know, look, what your body of work that you put out there, you know, every week and during the practice, because a lot of these guys show up to practices throughout the, you know, the season, is going to tell them a lot more than the combine does.
Matt, I understand a lot of the drills you guys ran through really don't translate into actual football play, and that includes the 40-yard dash, which I don't know if an offensive lineman's ever required to run 40 yards on any play, but Orlando Brown's kid did it in 5.85. Surely that's got to mean something, doesn't it?
Well, a 5.85 meaning, like, not a good showing?
Yes. That's correct.
Right. I was hoping you were going that route. Yeah, you know, look, again, the combine, I wouldn't say that that's the end of the story. I mean, it doesn't tell you everything when you look at those numbers, because it really is a moment in time, right? And some people, I mean, I can remember working out with guys that, you know, it was a mental thing. I mean, they would go out there to run, and for whatever reason, they tighten up and have a terrible number. But if you watch them play, they play a lot better than that. So it's not the end of it, but 5.85 isn't screaming draft me.
Yeah, no.
This kid's supposed to be a high pick, too.
He's supposed to be a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wouldn't be the only one like that. Look, I think, as far as offensive linemen go, not that anybody cares, but I would rather take the more agile, smaller, nimbler guy, you know, than the guy that comes in, you know, weighing as much as a house and can't move as well. It only gets worse. I mean, look, the freshman 40 in college becomes like the rookie 100 when you hit the league with the amount of money you got in your pocket and you're going out to eat every night. You know, I think it does it does send a message. So, you know, hopefully it doesn't affect him on draft day, but I'm sure he'll make a lot of money either way.
Well, Matt, one of the best stories of the combine this week has been Shaquem Griffin. He's the linebacker who only has one hand. His brother plays for the Seahawks, right? I believe it's his twin brother. He had the best 40 time for any linebacker, I think, in a decade. He's been impressive, even with the bench press. He was unbelievable. How tough do you think it is for a guy with only one hand to be successful in the NFL?
Listen, I mean, I do spend a lot of time in the woods, but I'm finding it hard to believe that there's is that this isn't a setup. This isn't like, hey, let's mess with light.
No, Matt, this
no,
is
no.
He's the story. He's
that
fastest.
That would go over well.
Yeah, that would make us look real good.
Yeah, we're gonna. what could be the downside of lying about a guy with no hand?
Yeah, he.
All right, no, I mean, I thought it'd be awesome to, hey, Matt Light responds to question about a player with no hand.
Okay, like, so this. All right, never mind the question. Forget it. All right.
No. Honestly, right, okay, I want to know about like how tough is it?
So this guy. Okay, so this guy went to Central Florida. He dominated in the Peach Bowl. He's supposed to be like a third day pick, and he showed well at the combine. But obviously, there are. He was really. I saw him play a few times in college, and he's very good. But I guess the question is, what kind of effect would that have? What the negative effect would that have if he's an edge rusher?
Yeah, well, look, number one, I love directional schools. So Central Florida. I think that's an amazing story. I mean, look, there's guys that can do things like that that it just doesn't make sense to me. Guys that I played with that had, you know, issues, whether it was, you know, injury-wise, that they've been able to battle back and do things. Look, if the guy can go out there and play with, you know, one hand. I mean, by the way, think of the headline of that, you know, Light gets beat by one-handed pass rusher.
Yeah, that's the idea, yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, look, hats off to him. I mean, hey, look, if he's balling out in college, there's no reason that he couldn't do, you know, some great things in the league. I've seen guys do some amazing things with a lot of limitations to their game, and that would be a new one, though. I mean, you would think that it would be almost impossible for a guy to play a position where he's pass rushing or having to shed blockers with one hand, but awesome story.
Yeah, I guess you got to look at Jason Pierre-Paul and how well he did he got his fingers.
No, no, no. It's a completely different situation because Pierre-Paul still had the same length of his arms. It's not just his hand.
I think it's just the wrist is where it cuts off.
No,
it is.
No.
Yeah. I saw it when he bench pressed. How do you bench press if you don't have that right there? Where his wrist was?
Because they trust me. Go look at a picture of him. It's a lot different.
Okay.
Because
I saw it and it looked
it's
like they
right
cut
there,
off his
Rich.
Wrist.
There you go. It's a lot different. All right. Matt Light, I can't find heads or tails of any information about what you're doing. But are you running the marathon? What's going on?
Come on now. Listen, we're talking about a guy with one hand playing football. And now we're going to try to get me to run a med. This is into April Fool's Day. I love this. This is great.
That's what our producer said. He goes, I think that he's running the marathon or something. All right, what do you got going?
No, listen, we're going to be partying a week from tomorrow. That's the 14th, a Wednesday, at Capo in Southie. It's going to be an awesome event. We're celebrating our marathon team Speed of Light. So if you're looking for something to do Wednesday night, come out, join us. We're going to be down in the basement of Coppa. We got a great band, Ripcord. We're just going to be tearing it up, man. No formal agenda, just celebrating our marathon team and having some fun with that and all of our runners. And hopefully they won't drink too much and continue their training for the great Boston Marathon. And then we do have our Fool's Night Out, which is the 29th of March. So two great events that we're gearing up for. And the Fool's Night Out is going to be awesome. By the way, as a little sneak peek, I always release some videos from the past of some, you know, silly, stupid pranks, you know, stuff like guys with one hand playing football. But this year I'm launching one. We punked Dave Carrero from Wicked Tuna, which he's a great guy and he's a great character on that show. But Dave got in a little trouble in Illinois, and we're going to have that for everybody's viewing pleasure.
All right, Matt Light, it's always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for the time.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good morning.
All right, we appreciate it.
Yeah, you're right. It does look like it's like half a forearm. Because I know in the story they say they cut it off at his wrist, but it looks lower than that.
Yeah, they cut it off his wrist when he was four. So it's a different thing. All right, we will be back here at the headlines.
Tucker and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It is almost like program director Bird. But Dan, was there anything wrong with yesterday's show?
There was not, and I was not in the room when you asked him that quote, which is great because I walked in and your eyes were like, seriously?
Yeah. So,
but if I could, Fred, could I bring in my phone and show you a picture from yesterday's show?
Yeah, absolutely. Bird, by the way, listening intently to the show, I'm interested to know how much of the show he even saw.
Really?
Okay, Bird fell asleep during the show.
All right,
ladies and gentlemen.
That's what Everett Knights will do to you.
Oh, my God.
All right, so Bird was very critical of the show yesterday, even though there's nothing. It moved. It was fine.
Yeah.
Nothing. Listen, was it the world's greatest show of all time? No, but it was nothing stood out to make it bad.
Was he critical because he was asked, or did he offer it up on his own?
I asked him because he was acting odd. Like, I just said, I'm like, no. I asked him because we were alone in the room for a while.
Okay.
And I had nothing to talk to him about. So I'm like, what'd you think of the show? And
you see, then he had to talk.
Yeah.
And then words had to be formed.
Right. And so, but he was so, like, over the top. And he fell asleep during the show yesterday. He fell asleep at the phones. Like, literally fell asleep. And then the guy's got the balls to critique it negatively after he's
fallen
asleep.
What, he didn't hear half of it?
Whatever. Well, maybe that proves his point. Maybe it was so bad that he had to fall asleep.
Okay.
But it was, and Hardy, and I told Hardy what he said, and Hardy just goes, come on, Bird. We're going to follow me.
Okay.
We're going to get this on tape while
we
can.
Is we going to hear that at 8 o'clock?
We're going to hear that at 8 o'clock.
Okay, good.
A Bird, very, very critical. All right, so this fella Nunberg.
Sam Nunberg.
Oh, Nunberg, I apologize. Yeah. Sam Nunberg. He was an aide to Trump who was eventually fired. He was fired, rehired, and refired.
This is somebody I had never heard of until yesterday.
I had
no idea who this was. He helped out with Trump's campaign for a while. And why are we talking about this? Because yesterday you saw somebody for about four straight hours absolutely lose their mind on television and have a breakdown.
Yeah, it's like the Martin Short character where he's smoking on 60 Minutes. And he's like, I never said that.
Yeah.
Except he's saying everything.
Yeah, so the way this whole thing started was that, Robert Mueller, who's interviewing anyone who has to do with the campaign right now, subpoenaed him to turn over any kind of texts or emails that he has had back and forth with pretty much anyone who's been involved in this investigation, whether it be Lewandowski, whether it be Donald Trump, I mean, all of these people. And something happened. And I guess 2 days ago, he was pro Mueller in this investigation, and he's not a big fan of a lot of the people involved with Donald Trump because he was fired, and he hates the people that are around him, and he's very bitter. But yesterday, he said, not only am I not going to turn over these emails and possibly get arrested, but I am going to go on every network that will have me and just take a flamethrower to everything I know. On top of that, many people were questioning the condition in which he was doing those interviews.
Yeah.
Should we start with the CNN one?
Yeah. This is him complete. Like, this is a guy who's lost his mind.
You can't see it, obviously, on the radio, but he's like tapping his hand up against the desk. Like, he does two of the interviews on the phone. The CNN one is in studio. And he's like shaking, he's rocking, he's knocking the desk. Something's off.
Yeah.
And the CNN people kind of bring that up.
Former Trump campaign advisor, Sam, thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, you know, I was a campaign advisor from 2011 to 2015 when everybody was laughing at Donald Trump. So for Sarah,
campaign advisor from 2011, so he was thinking about running for that long. It was that expensive.
Yeah, I said for Sarah Huckabee to start criticizing me, I would say, and I know what, and I know you may not like it the way I say it. She should shut her fat mouth.
And we're off.
Okay. You really think Trump was considering running in 2011?
I don't know. I don't care. All I know is I like this guy immediately coming out and saying fat mouth.
Right, but I think before that, he's just like off the rails. Like, what was Trump doing? He was doing like The Apprentice.
That's called win in the room.
I know you might. I know you might not like this, but his press secretary over there,
this broad,
big fat ass.
I don't like that at all. I find that, you know, completely irrelevant.
It's irrelevant, but I understand. But
right?
Yeah,
you can comment on the
but she says I'm bizarre. I'm bizarre. Yeah, she. It's pretty bizarre what her father does. That's to me. It's pretty bizarre.
Okay.
Okay, we won't get into it. Fine.
Okay. No. I don't. I actually don't think she used the word bizarre. She said, "I think he definitely doesn't know that for sure because he's incorrect."
I don't know.
There was
sure.
No
I don't know.
She's
it
talking
for sure.
about whether wrongdoing was. I don't think she used the word bizarre at all to refer to you. Just
no,
to
but
clear.
But she had her people do it.
Why though? Fall on the sword for someone else?
Mueller's not going to send me to prison for this. This is ridiculous. Look at this, Carter Page. I never spoke to Carter Page in my life.
Well, then why wouldn't you?
Does he have the subpoena on him?
No, but he said he was going to send it to all of them.
Right, right.
And you're like, all right, well, that's a little strange.
I knew that. Yeah, I know that he was like, it was all for sharing the subpoena.
Oh, yeah, he'll give it to anyone.
Yeah. Hey, sir, I don't have a quarter for you, but here's my subpoena from the Mueller investigation.
Carter Page? I never spoke to Carter Page in my life.
Well, then why wouldn't you be happy to provide your communications if there aren't any?
Because I'm not going to go over when I have 15 emails a day and have to spend 80 hours.
Okay, but I don't understand.
You
is
know what?
You could go. You could go to prison for this. Okay. What do they show that you're so embarrassed of?
They show nothing that I'm so embarrassed. You know what I'm? But I don't believe.
You said earlier that you talk about people that you hate. So
okay.
I mean,
are
there disparaging things? You're just embarrassed. You were talking smack about others or what?
No, that's not the reason. Who am I? Am I some crook? Once again. Trump fired me within 6 weeks of the campaign. By the way, after I saved him when he criticized McCain, this is ridiculous. What do I have to hand over all my emails to a federal investigator?
Because they asked for it, and it's the special counsel.
Okay, fine. We'll find out. You know what?
We'll find out. This is the best. It was all due, I think, at 3 o'clock yesterday. It's like, who has time to do that? No, but you have time to go to every network and do these interviews.
By the way, he gets 15 emails a day, so look out.
He's an important person.
I don't know how you'd sift through all that.
Okay, fine. We'll find out. You know what? We'll find out. I think this is history. So we'll see. I think it's 50-50 what Mueller will do. I don't think he knows what he's going to do. What do you think he's going to do?
So is this sort of like you're doing, this is a game of chicken for you right now?
No, it's not a game of chicken. Whatever Trump did, he was going to get away with it, so he shouldn't have fired Comey. Okay?
Talking to you,
yeah.
I have smelled alcohol on your breath.
Well, I've...
Ooh.
Hmm. She kind of set it up. There's one part. She's like, you know, we've been very close to each other for the last few minutes. That's one part that I guess it didn't make the cut here. We've been very close to each other for the last few minutes, so I'm kind of embarrassed, but I have to say this. Talking to you, I smell alcohol on your breath.
Probably.
Yeah. I have smelled alcohol on your breath.
Well, I have not had a drink.
You haven't had a drink, so that's not...
No.
So I just, because it is the talk out there, again, I know it's awkward, let me just give you the question so you can categorically answer that. No, you have you had a drink
today? My answer is no, I have not.
Anything else?
No.
No.
No. Besides my meds.
Okay.
Antidepressants, is that okay?
No, I'm just trying to understand.
Well, look, they can say, they can say whatever they want. I don't really care. Once again, they're pathetic. Their president has a 33% approval rating. Whatever they want to say about me, that's fine. What I don't care.
Okay.
Okay? I'm the one who was treated terribly by him. I'll tell you one thing. I didn't steal from the campaign. Okay? I didn't have an illicit affair with a married man, you know. All I did was work for him for 4.5 years.
Okay, all right. So these are big market teasers in his mind, because later on another network, he says who indeed on the campaign had an affair with a married man. He just straight up says, well, Hope Hicks was having sex with Corey Lewandowski. Huh? Like, no one asked you about any of that stuff. Like, the dude just lost his mind.
He lost his mind and had the ability to get booked at all these places.
And people are going off on CNN saying, well, if you thought that you smelled alcohol, then why did you do the interview? It's like, well, you gave him a chance to respond. I mean, if you would have said, yes, I'm drunk, first of all, it would have been one of the craziest things on TV
people
ever.
People used to go on that William F. Buckley show, half in the bag.
I mean, at least they like put it out there. I mean, for their, you know, for CNN's journalistic integrity, whatever.
Oh,
they
please.
Asked. He's like, no, I'm fine. Oh. Like, okay, let's roll. Let's keep this fun going. Yeah. Who else is having sex with who? Please incriminate more people.
No, please. They're not putting someone on who's been drinking. That would take away every political interview from 1950 to 1975. Give me a break. I mean, I've seen Diane Sawyer take a pill and wash it down with wine 2 minutes before she went on the air. He'd been drinking.
Oh, man. He went on like every network. And there's one where he did like two different CNN shows.
Yeah.
There's like a second one where he's on there. And they said to him, he's like, you realize that if you don't comply, you're going to get arrested. He goes, I'm not going to get arrested. You think I'm going to get arrested? And the woman goes, yes.
Yeah.
And his face is just, he has no response for like 3 straight seconds. Like, it's finally hitting him. You are going to jail.
Yeah, it's almost like he was just looking for reassurance, and he thought that if he went on these news programs.
And everyone's saying, no.
Or that he could threaten that he had more information, but then he just ended up blurting it all out anyway.
He just told everyone everything.
Yeah. Well, good for him. It continues to get more and more exciting. We'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Kutcher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Kutcher and Rich coming up in about 2 minutes. Bird who fell asleep during the show. We'll get into it. The people that they're answering the phone is such a problem. By the way, Nick moved. He sold his house without having anywhere else to live. Sold his house and then put all his stuff in his friend's. And I actually feel bad for him, but because he had all these problems with his house before he had to sell it. And then he moved all his stuff into his friend's basement, and his friend's basement flooded.
Oh, well, that's nice. So, oh, jeez, man.
So Nick is not living the life of Riley.
Oh, that sucks. Sorry, dude.
But I do like that all of Nick's belongings can fit in his friend's basement.
Oh, it wasn't until I was married I could move with several trash bags.
Nick's 30, in his 30s, and he owned a home.
Yeah, until I was like 25.
Sure.
Pretty much everything except for the crap furniture that I had could be put into like two trash bags.
I would always throw my furniture away because I always got it from a rental place. They would have the old rentals that you could buy.
I didn't have a real bed until I got married. Like, I just had like the frame.
When I first lived in Virginia Highlands, I had a mattress on the floor. And my house, my apartment was so disgusting when I moved that I had hired a cleaning lady to come in, and she asked me to go out and get a certain cleaning product, and I came back and she'd left.
Yeah, mine was so gross. Yeah, Mary never came over.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, it's going to be
I had girls not, and almost my wife, but I had girls come over when I had my condo, which I bought for $75,000, which probably now is worth $250,000. Girls wouldn't hook up with me. Like, they came over and it was so disgusting that girls wouldn't even hook up. All right, so a bird who fell asleep. Did you send that picture to Josh? Just pop that on the internet. Send that to the internet people, too, over at 985thesportshub.com. I want people to see that Bird really falls asleep during the show. All right, so I'll explain everything. Here are the headlines.